You're listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajis, a licensed clinical social worker with a multi-state online therapy practice. I have a passion for empowering women and mom therapists to break free of the fear, overwhelm, and oppressive systems that hold them back from taking action and building the private practice of their dreams. My goal is for you to boldly believe in yourself as a clinician and business owner. If you're looking for a place to learn practice building strategy and skill while also claiming your own power as a woman and a therapist, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this week's episode of the Raise to Empower podcast. Listeners of this show know that I'm a big advocate of having a website as a key part of your marketing plan for your private practice. And having a website means that you need to write things and have copy on that website to help attract clients to you. So I'm excited for today's guest who's going to help us dive into just that. Ariana Smith is a licensed therapist, strategy copywriter, and witchy soul specializing in helping therapists and healers elevate their practice through heart-centered, purpose-driven copy and email marketing. By blending clinical insight, intuitive wisdom, and no-fluff content strategy, she helps providers express the essence of their heart's work, authentically connect with their audience, and attract right fit clients to grow and scale their practices. Away from the keyboard, you'll find her making friends at the dog park or a local bookstore and buying yet another tarot deck. Ariana, welcome to today's episode.
Thanks, Ashley. Thanks for the warm intro.
I'm so glad to have you here today and to be able to kind of dive into an exciting topic. So share with listeners, I always ask guests, how did you decide, I think I want to be a therapist someday? Like, how did that path lead you to this work?
I have a really interesting story about this. And I think a lot of therapists who have been in the field for a while also know their childhood, interpreted that. But the adult decision to make this career shift was when I was actually working as a probation officer. BT dubs, I was a terrible probation officer. Wait. And so by day, I was working with folks who were involved in the criminal justice system. And then by night, I actually was volunteering for a sexual assault hotline. And so this was before I got my master's. So I would go to hospitals, I would go to police stations, I would field calls from survivors. And what I found is that discrepancy at the day working with folks that were, perpetrating this violence, and then at night, supporting them, just the discrepancy was too much for me. And I said, my heart is really working with the survivors, and really making that my professional capacity. And so that was really kind of the catalyst for me to, start grad school and start to be like, how can I do this more deeply? Because I was a volunteer with 40 hours of training, supporting people during their most traumatic and difficult moments. Yeah. And so that was what kind of prompted it.
As you were saying, like wearing these two hats that are like so opposite ends of the spectrum in many ways, and just thinking of like, man, that must have been challenging to navigate that internal dichotomy and just like fighting almost like internally, like within yourself.
Yes.
This discrepancy, but like what a really unique experience.
Yeah. Yeah. After I got my degree, I was also working with teenagers involved in the, you know, the juvenile justice system. And so it's not that I necessarily, you know, had anything, you know, against that in a way. I was just like, how can I be most suited? Like, how are my gifts most suited? Because I am so gullible, so gullible. And so as you can imagine how that translated to working as a probation officer. So, and I think that's probably something that your listeners think about too, is like, where are my skills and my interests most suited? And how do I want to leverage that?
Yeah, absolutely. So how did copywriting come about for you then as part of?
Okay. So do you remember in 2019 when summers would be slow? And I know we're kind of getting back to that pre-pandemic time. And do you remember also when we had to have full-time office space?
Yeah.
Right? So I had been in private practice. I think I started part-time 2016. So I've been a therapist since 2012. 2016 started part-time. 2017 made the leap to full-time. And then I wanted something that offered me a creative outlet. I wanted it to be something that was less emotionally taxing, but mostly I wanted location freedom. I wanted something that I could do wherever I went. And I know that's a big thing that your listeners really want to as well. And so copywriting was, I was like, well, I think I'll just give this a shot. And so I wrote someone's website, and I was like, I really enjoyed this. And then it just kind of took off to the point that, you know, in the past, I guess it's been 5 years, you know, now it's almost half of what I do. Like now I'm like half a therapist, half a copywriter, as opposed to in 2019, it was really just like this side hustle that I could do remotely. And as we know now, we can do everything remotely. Yeah. But at the time, that was the impetus.
Yeah. You know, I think copywriting is one of those things people either like love it, or it feels like scary or like daunting and can feel kind of a bit overwhelming. Like for someone who's like, all right, I know this is important, because like, again, if a website, or if you're in a directory, like people are going to read those words, and that's what's going to help them decide, yeah, you're who I want to work with. So if people are like, this just feels like a lot, how do you usually encourage people to kind of just start thinking about copywriting? Not even saying that they're doing it, not even saying that like they're hiring somebody for it, but like, how do you get people to start thinking about like the value that's there, or why it's important, and kind of where to go from there?
Gosh, well, do we have an hour, you know, an hour of why it's important? I like to just give the basic definition that copy is words for your business. So there's a lot of words out there that have different purposes and different uses, but copywriting is the words for your business. And in most cases, they are the first impression that your clients have of you. And so they kind of get to act as ambassadors for who you are, because you can't be on the internet. You know, we are not two-dimensional, or we can't be handing out business cards everywhere. We can't be on every social media post live. And so I try to think of copy as an ambassador. I like to also think of it as an employee. How is it going to help your business? What is its purpose? And this is where I really, you know, as I started being a copywriter, I found that I had a real knack for strategy, and combined with a love of like the psychology of words. I mean, copywriting is just the psychology of words plus strategy. So I think if people are just thinking about it, and we're going to talk about the buyer archetypes today, which are really, really accessible way to start thinking about copywriting. It's just thinking about what is the psychology of folks when they are coming to your website and they are thinking about work with you. And copy is the one way that you can help folks feel connected, seen, validated, entertained, inspired, and also repelled, right? You just as important to attract those ideal clients is to repel the wrong fit ones.
Yeah. Well, I always think, you know, when people are like, oh, I don't know about this, or like, I just want to write like a basic thing, like about me. I'm like,
yeah,
but think about how you, like when you go to look for something, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a restaurant, or whether it's a therapist, when you're reading, like, how do you feel reading that? Or how would you connect with that? And so I love what you're talking about, like the psychology of it. And it's not like sleazy marketing. It's not that, but it's about connecting with the reader, essentially. So talk with us a little bit about like this buyer archetype. Cause I know like we were talking a little bit about it before we started recording, and I'm like, oh gosh, there's so much here. Yes, we could do like an episode on like each one, but share with us what those are.
Do you want me to preface it a little bit about authenticity and copywriting? Yes. Cause I know that was something important. So we're basically talking about like, how can therapists be themselves and grow their practice? And so I like to offer the buyer archetypes model as a really fun, accessible way to start thinking about that, because it gives you this framework around what is it, how do my ideal clients make decisions? What information do they need? How long does it take them? And what's important to them? And so once you know that about your ideal client, then you can kind of choose your own adventure about what do you want to reveal about yourself. And the three things I like to keep in mind about authenticity is context, right? Being authentic. And this is also, when you think about authenticity, this is also the same with copy. Context, like who's my audience? Who am I writing to? Control, releasing it. We can't control how other people perceive us. And that's a big barrier for therapists when writing copy, because it feels so vulnerable. And it's like, is this the way I want to be perceived? And then the other aspect is safety. You know, you don't have to share everything or your most deepest, darkest secrets in order to be authentic and relatable. And so that's kind of the three things I want to preface this model with, because I know that there is kind of this, you know, we have a lot of conditioning as therapists to not self-disclose, how to self-disclose, and you can choose. And this model is going to offer you a way to choose what you want to self-disclose. And I'll give examples and all of that. So I wanted to kind of just like give a little context. So as people are learning about this, they know how it helps them with their copy and kind of showing up more as themselves.
Well, and I think that that's so important though, too, because that's how a client is going to connect with you, right? Like you said, this is your first impression. This is the first, you know, glimpse of them getting to know you. And, you know, if it's very like dry or it's very inauthentic, there's going to be a real disconnect either from them wanting to work with you, or like when they come and they're, you know, across the screen from you or across the couch from you, they're going to be like, wait a second, this is not who I thought this was.
Yes. Yes. That's another thing that's at stake, right? If you're not authentic in your copy, then you might attract this ideal client that doesn't actually align with you. And then you can burn out, and that's really not sustainable. So let's talk about, you want to talk about buyer archetypes?
Yes, please.
I really, okay. And as I share these, I want you to listen to which type you are. So people often write to their buyer archetype, and in doing so, they get to identify their strengths, and they also get to identify their possible blind spots around their copy. And so buyer archetypes are basically a unique set of values, characteristics, and thinking processes that folks go through when they're making a decision. And we often have one dominant buyer archetype, sometimes two. Honestly, we're a collection of all three, because these are archetypes and we are more expansive than just archetypes. But when we can hone in to on our primary and maybe our secondary, that's really helpful. So, and this is where I'd like to mention, I have a free resource for your community that's going to be in the show notes. And it's basically a 10 or 11 page guide all about buyer archetypes, including at least a page around how to write to each one. So as folks are listening to this and they're like scribbling notes, don't worry about it. Get the guide. You'll have it in the show notes so that you can learn this a little bit more. So the way I like to think of buyer archetypes is think of a quadrant. And on one axis is slow versus fast. That's their decision-making process. And then on another axis is the information data that they need or how they make the decision, logic or emotional. And between that quadrant, you have four different types, archetypes, which, by the way, this concept is not new. So if you get this online, this is how I've just conceptualized it. So the folks that make decisions quickly and use logic are what I call the CEO. Sometimes they're called the driver. And they're the folks that they just want the facts fast. They don't want fluffy language. They don't want walls of text. They just want the facts fast. And they're often asking, why are you the best? So when you think about writing copy to this type, you want to focus really intentionally on your headlines and what makes you stand out in the market, right? So if you are, actually, let's use an example. Can you give me an example of like, I can apply this to each archetype when they're writing copy.
Giving an example of
like, a couples therapist, or you want to, we could use your practice if we want, we could play with that too.
Of like, just like what my practice is.
What your niche is.
So my niche is I work with anxious women going through life transitions, grief and trauma, specialty in perinatal mood and anxiety disorder.
Okay. Okay. So if your ideal client was an SEO buyer archetype, they're going to be asking probably, why are you the best perinatal specialist for them, right? And how you answer that is going to depend on your personality, right? You may say, actually, it's because I have all of these trainings. Actually, it's because I have this background. Actually, it's because of this. This is where you get to choose your own adventure. So that's what the CEO is looking for. And so, yeah, I'll use the perinatal specialty for this, right? And then the other one, so I'm going to go through these quickly because I know there's a lot here. So then the other one is the folks that make decisions slower and use logic are called thinkers. So these are the folks that love their spreadsheets. This is one of my archetypes. I love my spreadsheets. They will read every single word of copy on your website, every single word. And what they're asking about is, what is your process? They want to know that you have this, like, things tried and true for them. And they also want to know all the details. So for your niche, you might want to talk about, here's the unique approach that I take with perinatal clients, right? Step one, step two, step three. And that's going to be really comforting to them because they want to know what to expect. They want to know you've thought this out as much as they have, right? Yeah. And then on the emotion side of things, which is probably where a lot of us therapists are, I'll get to the archetype that most therapists are in a sec. So folks that make decisions quickly and with emotion are what I call the fun lover. They're sometimes called spontaneous buyers. They're buying stuff because it's fun. They're often really intuitive. So they're just like, this is the right thing. This is what I'm going to go with. So they're kind of like the SEO, but they're more going with their gut, you know? And they are more concerned about relatability and ease. So if they have to dig all over your website to find out how to book a call with you, you're going to lose them. Right. And if you have like a boring drab, stock images from 2005, you're going to lose them too. Right. And if you also are like super duper duper, like buttoned up, with your gray pantsuit, I'm really generalizing here just to be fun. You're going to lose them. So with this type, using your personality is going to be like, what aspects do these folks, first off, how can I make it easy for them? And two, in what ways do I relate to them? So in your case, with your perinatal specialty, you might actually show, because these are quick, intuitive buyers, you might show actually an image. You might focus more on like a brand image of you with your kids if you want to. I know that's like, I know some people don't, some people do. Maybe it's you working, you talking to a nurse. Let's actually say that. Maybe you're talking to our nurse or something. And then last but not least, I feel like I'm talking a mile a minute, but
No, you're
people are
good.
like, last but not least is the feeler archetype. These are folks that need a longer decision-making time and they make decisions with their emotions. And you can imagine this is where most therapists fall. These are folks that are very much trusting their gut, but unlike the fun lover who's looking for relatability, they're looking for trust. And they're looking for sustained trust. So these type of folks, they often need the longest to make a decision and they need time to process. But once they're in, right? So which one do you think, tell me your impressions, which one do you think you are? I'm so curious.
Well, I think it depends on the
Yes.
scenarios. Because I'm like, I definitely think the last one is probably more general. Probably like the largest one, but like there's times when I think the CEO one is, I'm like, I don't have time to read all the copy. I don't,
Yes.
but like it's not like a high stakes thing, right?
Yes.
Or like
Okay.
even like the fun buyer, right? Like there's parts of
Yeah.
that. Like if I'm on Amazon and I'm searching for
Yes.
like,
Add to
something,
cart.
yeah, exactly. Like, cool, let's go. Like the one you, the last one. What was the title of that archetype?
The
Yeah, the
feeler.
feeler, like absolutely, absolutely. And it is like an intuitive piece, but there's also, like you said, I need to know, I need to have some like understanding too of what's going on and like to give time to like resonate with it.
Yes, you need time to process the emotional data and come to the right decision. And also these folks on the quadrant that are slower decision makers, they hate feeling pressure to do so, right? So this is where sometimes therapists, if they're this feeler archetype, they can feel kind of really averse to this like salesy kind of vibe.
Sure.
Because it feels like it feels like you're asking me to bypass my very wise decision-making process right now.
Yeah.
So, and the buyer archetypes, you know, you can use it for good or evil. I really use it to honor, deeply, deeply honor my ideal clients.
Yeah.
To also depersonalize. If someone takes 3 years, and this has happened, to decide to become a copywriting client because they need to follow me, they need to read every newsletter. Amazing. Right. And so it's really, when you are armed with this information, it can be a gift. So the way to, and I didn't say this about the feeler archetype, although probably therapists are naturally good at writing to this, is you are going to really want to highlight your values. You are going to really want to do trust and credibility. And this is where I really, really recommend, if you're a non-therapy, testimonials, if you are a therapist, colleague endorsements and recommendations. That social proof is so important for the feeler type, is to know someone else trusts you, right?
Yeah. Well, it's funny as you say that, because I'm, you know, I was like, oh, well, you know, the fun type, right? Like go to Amazon, but I, and just take, you know, add to cart, but I always go to the reviews and I'm looking at like, what are they saying? Like,
and that could be the thinker, actually. The thinkers tend to be more about the reviews. They tend to be more about the reviews, but it could also be, once again, that's a slower decision-making process. I need more data. You can kind of, and this is where the archetypes get expansive here.
We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting. As a therapist, business owner, and a mom, managing your business finances effectively is crucial. That's where Bank Novo comes in. Bank Novo isn't just a bank account, it's your partner in growth. With free checking and a range of features tailored to small businesses like yours, like no hidden fees or minimum balances, Bank Novo makes managing your finances simple and stress-free. But what truly sets Novo apart is its compatibility with the Simple Profit Method. Whether you're just starting out or looking to streamline your financial processes, Bank Novo seamlessly integrates with Simple Profit, helping you track expenses, managing invoices, and maximizing your profits effortlessly. And for listeners of this show, when you sign up for a free Bank Novo account at bit.ly/NovoAshley and enter the referral code AshleyComages, all one word, after making a $100 deposit, you'll receive $40 as a sign-up bonus. Yep, you heard that right, $40 just for taking control of your finances with Bank Novo. So fellow therapists, take the next step towards financial empowerment. Join me in choosing Bank Novo and unlock the financial tools you need to thrive in your practice.
So I'm curious, in thinking about the different archetypes, because I was like, okay, this makes sense, but I'm thinking like, it may be in my natural tendency to write my copy like, what was the fourth quadrant, the feeler. Yeah. So that might be my instinct, but that may not be how my ideal client buys. And so do you typically recommend people doing an ideal client? Like I usually call it like a client avatar, like kind of developing that. And then once you've developed them, figuring out which buyer type are they, or how do you kind of see that hand in hand?
I feel like the first step, and this is in the little mini guide, is knowing what your buyer archetype is.
Okay.
Like that's the first step, because that's going to be what you're going to be naturally writing to, and you know the starting point, right? Okay. So in your case, let's say you are naturally a CEO one. So then you can look at that and you can be like, and then you go diagonal on the quadrant, right?
Okay.
So that's when you're like, that's probably the one that you have to focus the most to write to, because you're like, just the facts, none of this feely shit. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then, but then actually you have ideal clients that need that. So first is coming up, knowing what your buyer archetype is, you know, dominant and secondary, and how that shows up. And
how
then
you as the writer, what yes, your archetype. Yes. Okay.
Unless
okay.
you're hiring it out to someone. Right. Okay. And even then, I think it's good to know.
You still probably do need to know. Yeah.
You still need to know. And then from there, when I've done this workshop live with therapists, they know pretty quickly what their ideal client is. Yeah. And they know that they're like, oh, this person is this and this person is this. And what I found as a copywriter is different offers attract different buyer archetypes. You know, my retainer packages attract more of the CEOs because they're just right. like, boom, boom, boom. How can you get this done for me? Right. And so I write my copy differently to say a different offer that is more maybe relationship based.
Sure.
So then once you have their buyer archetype, I don't know if you have to do like a full ideal client avatar. I think if you just know, and then from there, you can go ahead and just audit what you have, right? Yeah. Because a lot of therapists are so hard on themselves about their copy. And it's actually good. Like, therapists know how to write a sentence. They know how to make a point. It's just about, how do you want to apply the strategy to it? So then I would audit it. And then from there, I would identify, okay, where do I need a little bit more information and go from there? Does that land with order of operations?
No, it does. It does. I mean, and honestly, I mean, I think your point too about sometimes it's a matter of like, just get it, like get something out there and then audit it, edit it, right? Because we are so good as therapists of overthinking. Right. Like that's that thinker part of like, well, how do I say it this way? Or what do I say? And sometimes it's like, just get it out. And then like, if you do know, okay, this is my archetype or this is my ideal client, how does that fit? Then you can go in and edit it a bit more. It sounds like.
Yes. And I would say the three things, if people want something concrete and tangible, I love knowing that you're partially an SEO, like, sorry, a CEO archetype, because I'm like, boom, boom, boom. Where's the bullet points, right?
Yeah, right.
So if there's three things that would be important, I would say headlines. Those are important to everyone, because even the thinker who's going to read every single word of your copy, they were all skimmers. So I also have a blog on my website about how to blow up your headlines, 5 different ways to do that. So if folks are like, headlines, I have a resource around that. The second thing I would say, second bullet point, is the language your client uses. So which can vary based on, you know, which doesn't actually require you knowing what their archetype is. It just requires you paying attention to what they're saying.
Yeah.
And the third, I think, which is often overlooked, is your call to actions, which your call to actions are simply the buttons on your website that are going to invite people to take the next step. And so, you know, if you have a fun lover buyer archetype, get those buttons bright pink, right? Like, make those fun, make those easy to find. So making those buttons really easy to find, I always recommend above the fold having at least one call to action button, because you really only have 8 seconds to get people's attention. And if you're thinking of that CEO, like, you probably decide pretty quickly if you're going to stay on that website once you're at the headline.
Right. Well, and it's interesting because even with that, like, I may not be like, yep, I'm going to go ahead and buy or do the call to action, but it's, am I going to keep reading?
Yes.
And am I going to engage more? Am I going to now take the time to think through this and feel it?
Yes, exactly. So those are three things that you can think about for every buyer archetype, because ultimately, and when I'm writing copy as a copywriter, I'm really just writing to all buyer archetypes, but this is what I do for a living, you know? And so to make it a little bit more accessible to therapists, that's the steps that I'd follow. Find out your own, write something, audit it based on archetypes, and, you know, maybe bringing in someone who's a different archetype than you.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, everyone here is Ashley's, the CEO archetype. If you want her to I'm not volunteering you. Right. But you can find someone and you could come in and you could just say in 5 minutes, like the headline's cut off. What are you actually doing? So I think peer feedback is so valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think that's so true. Like there are people who, I mean, I'm thinking even where you're talking about, like, if you did hire this out, to still know that archetype is so important, because how somebody may write it is like, may not resonate with you or your ideal client. And so, you know, I'm just thinking through like things that I've had support around with copywriting where I'm like, no, that doesn't fit the buyer type. And that does need to be shifted or changed around a bit. One, it better aligns with me, but then also the buyer too.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. So you're already doing it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm thinking of where I need to go back to now. Yes.
Yeah. And a good copywriter is going to be able to explain why they did something too. Yeah. And so they might be like, you might be like, oh, what's all this text here? Right. Yeah. And they're like, well, actually we really need to speak to the folks that need to know these things. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you might be like, well, why is it so further up on the page? Can we just move it down further? You see how that works where it's like you can honor all the buyer archetypes and your own and your ideal clients.
Yeah, absolutely. If listeners want to connect more with you or to learn more about your work, where's the best place for them to do that?
My website, arianasmith.com, is the best place. I got some fun freebies on there too. I have actually a free 90-minute masterclass around copywriting for therapists as well. They're all going to get that buyer archetype guide if they download it. And then I also just have a weekly newsletter called the Weekly Wordsmith, which is for, you know, basically kind of our conversation, combining strategy with heart, like how to write copy well without losing yourself and really showing up fully.
Awesome. And we will have links to your website and to the buyer's guide or the archetype guide.
Yeah.
We'll have that linked in the show notes. Ariana, I really appreciate you taking the time to be here. I feel like we could do like more episodes just about even like diving into this more detail.
Oh my gosh.
We'll probably be talking again in the future. But thank you so much for being here today.
I love that. Thank you so much, Ashley. This was fun.
Thank you so much for listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. Check the show notes for all links and resources mentioned in the show. If you found today's episode helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with your therapist friends. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave your 5-star rating and review. It truly means so much to me and will help us get our message of empowerment out to other women and mom clinicians. And I'd love to connect with you in our Facebook community. So check out the show notes for the link or head to bit.ly/raise to empower to join us. I'll see you back here next week.